If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 6? Genesis chapter 6, and you can also, turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. And our text this morning will be from Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. And let's begin reading at verse 5. And would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Genesis chapter 6, beginning at verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Praise God. What a statement. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that's the subject I want to preach on this morning for a few moments, taken from verse 8. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Could we go to him in prayer today? Heavenly Father, I thank you today for the rich and beautiful moving of your Holy Spirit. Lord, this first Sunday we're meeting in the year 2011, we're together at a time when this world has gone mad. But Lord, we're also living in a time where your grace is unchangeable. And I pray today, Lord, that you'll open our eyes to the fact that in your grace is contained everything we're ever going to need. I pray today that your Holy Spirit would open to our eyes that in your grace, Lord, every situation that comes into our lives you are in control of. And that, Lord, lastly, I pray you'll open our eyes to the fact that if we place and keep our faith in you, Lord Jesus, everything that goes on in our lives is in somehow a work of your marvelous grace. Praise your holy name. And Lord, I'll not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for whatever you do this day. Help me, Lord, to preach your word in a way that it would be a blessing to your people and bring your name glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Just prior to the holiday season, I believe it was actually on the 21st of December, our Congress voted to, in effect, legalize homosexuality in the military. That's so utterly stupid and so far out of the reach of rational thought that it beggars description, really. To think that our leaders would vote to promote such an evil thing. And I couldn't help but think of the words I heard Brother Swaggart say not long ago, and they're so very true. He said, just because man legalizes sin does not make it right in God's eyes still. Because our nation has allowed this travesty to take place, God still says homosexuality is a sin and an abomination in his sight. But that is just merely one symptom of the deplorable state that not only our nation, but this whole world is in. As time winds down, and we have to be so close, church, to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to be so close to the rapture of the church happening. God has to intervene once again in the affairs of mankind, or this whole planet's going to be destroyed. So that in and of itself lets you know that the prophetic events must occur within a short space of time. But in that we see that God's love and God's mercy always intervenes. I was overwhelmed when I studied this text that we read from this morning And maybe you didn't catch it. It's really the first time that I caught it in the way the Holy Spirit showed it to me. The Bible says that the earth had become so wicked and so evil that even God Himself said, "I'm sorry I even made man." Now think of that. That's how evil the world was in Noah's day. We're not talking now. It's bad now, but in Noah's day, the Holy Spirit gives us a glimpse into the very mind of God. And God said, "I'm sorry I even made man." But also in the text we read this morning, you see the overwhelming love of God for the individual. And that even though the entirety of the human race had corrupted itself, and the Bible says their mind was nothing on nothing but evil continually, that God looked down from heaven and found one man who was remaining in fellowship with Him. And that beautiful phrase in verse 8, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." My, what a statement that is, church. I feel so inadequate to preach what I'm going to try to bring today because it's so beautiful. I don't think the human mind can get around it. And that contained in the grace of Almighty God is everything you and I are ever going to need. And when we find that grace, oh happy day. This time of year is always very special to me because it was on January 1st of 1985, very early in the morning, about 4 o'clock in the morning, when the Lord reached down to me and I found His grace. Hallelujah. I found His grace. How could this one man, Noah, not only have found grace, but maintained that grace, living in that grace? We know that when Adam and Eve fell, that God had clearly instructed them in a sacrificial system that would be a stopgap measure until the Son of God would take the place of the animals that were being offered. And He would once and for all, with His precious blood, abolish sin. I love the words of John the Baptist when he saw Jesus walking over the Judean countryside and he cried out to Him, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Glory to His name." But God's love for the individual is so great and that He reached out to Noah. Let me tell you this. Here's why it's so important that the church preach a true gospel message. Because in the preaching of the gospel, you find God's grace. And that the sinner can't get right with God. He can't find grace if he does not get the right message and what God requires to be placed in a state of grace. It's so very important that the church, who is God, should be God's voice in this earth, get that message right. But Noah was the only one, he and his family, on the planet that had found grace in this evil world. But yet God reaches out to him. That's so beautiful. I don't know what that does to you. I know what it does to me. To think that the God of this universe loved me enough to make sure I got the gospel so that I could find grace. He set up situations in every one of your lives to where you could find grace. He made it possible. I'm telling you, He was giving us grace before we even found it. Glory to His name. Hallelujah, I feel that this morning. He was given grace before we even found it. He was given grace before Noah found it. And that He ensured that at least one family on this planet, all of them had the same opportunity. But Noah found it because he said, "God, I'll do it Your way." That's the secret. That's how he found grace. He merely told the Lord, "I will relate to you, God, and how you have revealed that you want me to relate to you." We all found grace the day we heard of the cross. My Lord, there's an old Church of God song we used to sing when I was a little boy. And it went something like, I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my sin were rolled away. Do you remember it, Ravana? It made me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me. Because when you find grace, the grace of God, you have just found everything you're ever going to need in this life and throughout all of eternity to take you through. And Noah found it because he accepted willingly God's offer. God showed grace to Noah before Noah even found the grace. How? Because God wanted to reveal himself to man. God loves mankind. And God came after mankind. Even in Noah's day, he came after us in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ. He showed us grace before we even could understand or conceive of what his grace was. Before we literally found it. God didn't discover grace. It's us who discovered his grace. And that beautiful phrase, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What a statement that is. When you find grace, and by that I'm meaning when you accept God's offer of salvation and you say to the God of this universe, I will relate to you on the terms you have specified. I will do it your way. Noah was a sinful, fallen man, just like all of the rest of us. But Noah was doing one thing right. He was keeping God's sacrificial system and how God had prescribed, here's how I want you to relate to me. Whenever any human being does that, they will find grace in the eyes of the Lord. When we look to the cross of Jesus Christ and his shed blood, that's not a way to find grace. That's the only way to find grace. In the eyes of the Lord. Do you know what grace does when you find it, when you accept God's offer? God looks at you totally different. Praise God. Did you catch that? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that when God was looking upon this planet of Noah's day and he saw what a horrific condition it was in, and Noah accepted his offer of grace, everything changed between Noah and God at that point in time. Everything changed. God looks at him even though he is unrighteous. God looks at him as he's righteous now. And he tells Noah and comes to him, I'm going to wipe the whole thing out, but I'm going to spare you and your family. That's the love of God for the individual. If there had been only one human being on this planet, one fallen sinner, Jesus Christ still would have came and gave his life for that one individual. That ought to make us all happy because that tells us how much he loves you and me. Praise God. And when we find his grace and he begins to look upon us, not as we are, but as we are through his eye of grace. Oh, happy day. We've just found everything we're ever going to need. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's why the child of God, as we face 2011, and this world of ours that is in such a mess, it's probably just like it was in Noah's time. Don't let the enemy put fear on you about the future. Your future is secure. The child of God should be confident in his future, because, especially if he's found grace. Especially if we have found grace in God's sight. And we found grace when we place our faith exclusively in Christ and him crucified. God no longer, hallelujah, looks upon us as the fallen, sin-benighted, hell-bound people that we should have been. He adopts us over and he says, now I change my total view of you and how I'm going to look at you and relate to you. I now, where at one time you were alienated from me because you have found grace in my sight, I now adopt you as my son and daughter. Because you have found grace in my sight, you are now the object of my affection and adoration. My Lord, I'm talking about Almighty God here. I'm not talking about your boss. I'm not talking about your pastor. I'm not talking about your family. I'm talking about Almighty God who spoke these worlds into being. Changes his total view when we find grace. Hallelujah. And he has made it so easy for grace to be found. God is such a God of grace. His very bowels are full of grace. Hallelujah. Nothing but mercy and grace. And he wants men to find it. But he will not allow it to be found outside of his prescribed order. That's why the world was in such a mess in Noah's day. That's why the world's in such a mess today. That's why this nation is in such a mess today. I'm going to tell you something. It's not the fault of harebrained politicians that we voted to allow homosexuality in the military. It's the fault of a church that no longer preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ and will not stand up for the gospel and declare what thus saith the Lord. Oh God, get us back to the place in the church where we realize as preachers, as Christians, we are not diplomats. Can I tell you that? We are not diplomats. We are here to issue an ultimatum from Almighty God. And if the world loves us or doesn't love us, that's not our concern. Our concern is to make God happy with us. But in finding grace, we find all that we're ever going to need in this life. Everything the Lord told me to hone in on this today. Somebody needs this, maybe several, because he spoke to me very profoundly about this. Everything going on in your life right now, if your faith is in Jesus Christ and what he did for you at the cross, everything going on in your life is in some form or fashion a work of his grace. Now, you may not believe that. You may think, Pastor, you don't know what's going on. Yeah, you don't know what's happening in my life right now. It's terrible. This has happened, that's happened. You just don't have a clue. Let me tell you something. Here's the secret of standing and living in the grace of God and living an overcoming life. When Paul was shipwrecked and that ship was coming apart, he had faith in God's grace and he knew that ultimately everything happening in his life was a work of God's grace. Because he said, ain't nobody going to perish. Everything's going to be fine. And he landed on the island of Melita, right where the Lord wanted him to land, and ministered to people there and preached the gospel there. Had that storm not come up and that shipwreck not happened, Paul would have not have been where God wanted him to be. I'm here to tell you the storm going on in your life right now is a work of God's grace, whether you realize it or not. Your ship may even fall apart sometimes. You may think, man, everything's falling apart all around me. Well, if it does, let this confidence be in you. If you search your life and you know my faith is in my Savior and what he did at the cross and I've found grace in his eyes, God can't help but do nothing good towards you. You're in a state of grace. Hallelujah. You found grace. And when you find grace, everything that happens to you is ultimately going to be a good thing. Hallelujah. Oh, to be sure. My goodness, I'm not talking down to nobody today. I'm the biggest crybaby of crybabies. I look back over my life at the times that the Lord allowed me to go through the storms and the shipwrecks, and I ain't real proud sometimes, most of the time, of how I conducted myself. But you know, this is the power of His grace. His grace is not contingent upon our human emotions. Praise God. Us being in a state of grace is contingent upon our faith being right. And as long as that faith is right, we may squall like babies, we may complain, we may act amiss, but God in His grace and mercy, looking at us through an eye of grace, looks beyond all of the mess that we're looking at. He looks beyond all of our weakness, and He says, I'm still going to be there with them, and when the smoke settles and the dust clears, they're going to know that I am their God, and I'm full of grace toward them, and I'm going to bring them through. Hallelujah. I was asking the Lord just over the holidays. You know, you get that time off and kids are off playing with new things. And I was sitting there and I was just thinking about, as I was preparing this message, about some things that had gone on in my life. And I really did. I said, Lord, why? Why did it have to be that way? And just as quickly as I asked the question, it was one of those times, it don't always happen this way, but this was one of those times where that quickly the Holy Spirit answered me back. He said, just what you're studying. What went on in your life and is going on right now is a work of my grace. And you don't see the end result of it. But I do. Just believe me and know that my grace is sufficient. Praise God. Praise God. That's a good answer. Amen. That'll work in any situation at any time, won't it? Hallelujah. So as you face whatever you're facing in the coming year in 2011, get ready. This world's going to get more of a mess. I mean, it is just going to get crazier than we ever thought of. Ain't it, Mike? I wish I could be more positive to you this morning than that. But this old world is just going to become more and more of a mess. You're going to hear more and more wilder things. People are going to get crazier, deeper in sin, turning their hearts against Almighty God. But Jesus said, when you see these things coming to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Hallelujah. We're in the grace of God. Hallelujah. We're in the grace of God. Glory to His name. And that grace is going to ensure that we make it, even if we think we're not going to. Have you ever been there before? Maybe y'all ain't like me. Maybe you don't squall and cry like a baby before the Lord. I do some a lot of time, unfortunately. He's trying to get me past it. Because you know how the Lord deals with that? He just leaves you right where you are for a while to prove to you that His grace is sufficient, that you ain't going to die. I ain't going to let you go. And I can hold you right here in the heat of the fiery furnace and not let the smell of smoke come upon you while you're sitting there crying, thinking you're going to die and you can't make it. Grace, 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 hallelujah. Man, when you find that, you found everything you're ever going to need. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel that this morning. But don't that make you feel good and confident in looking at the rest of even all of eternity? Man, it does me. It does me. And the Lord told me today with this message, He wanted to set a landmark in our lives that we'd always look back and know His grace is sufficient, that we found His grace, and His grace is sufficient. Even the things that are going on we don't understand, that's a work of His grace in our lives. Because He's a good God. He's a good God. And you know, it's easy. Now come on, let's get real for just a minute. Man, ain't it easy to feel when we're in the presence of the Holy Spirit here this morning, all of us congregated together, to shout about this? It's tough to shout about it when it's all you all alone there in the midnight hour and you're worried, Lord, how am I going to face tomorrow? How am I going to get through it? It don't shout so well then, does it? Because we as humans, we get scared. But once you find His grace, He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. No matter what's going on in the world. Shannon, I know you know what I'm talking about. Shannon could preach this message this morning. Probably, I'm sure, a lot better than I could. But He's brought you out, ain't He, Shannon? He was faithful to His word, wasn't He? I know. I watched you stand. I've watched many of you stand against things, and I've wondered, dear God, how are they making it through that? I couldn't imagine going through that. But you found God's grace. And His grace was at work. Everything that goes on is a work of His grace in one of His children's lives. You know, I thought about Paul and Silas again, sitting there in jail at the midnight hour. Now listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. They were sitting there in jail at the midnight hour. They could have, what is that? Are we getting messages from heaven or something? I'm hearing somebody talking somewhere. Okay, excuse me, I'm having a moment. I'm hearing voices. I don't know what. Are you hearing it, Lena? Thank God. Okay. Hey, Deb, you there? Okay. She's quit now. Okay. We love you, Ned and Deb. Oh, thank you, Linda. I was getting worried about myself. I'm hearing these voices, and I'm like, listen to this. Paul and Silas sitting in the jail in the midnight hour. Now, man, I'm here to tell you, if that was me, I'd have probably been crying like a baby. God, why'd you put me here? All I did was try and preach your gospel, and these mean folks have beat me up, locked me in these chains now. But when you find grace and you get the revelation, I mean, really get it, that everything that my God allows in my life is somehow going to be a work of His grace. Paul turns to Silas, and he says, hey, Silas, let's sing. Wow, let's sing. Man, oh man, that's somebody who knows God's grace is sufficient for me. God's grace is sufficient for me. And I don't know what you're going through. Maybe I know the Lord sent us to help us all today. But know this, it's a work of His grace. Instead of complaining and crying about it, why don't you just lift up your hands to Him and say, Lord God, You sent Your Son Jesus after me, and You revealed Yourself to me and allowed me to find Your grace. And You look upon me now with eyes of grace. And therefore, I know that everything You're allowing to go on, no matter how difficult, no matter how hurtful I may think it is right now, that Your grace is going to carry me through. So I'm not going to complain. I'm going to know that You're in control. I'm going to throw up my hands, and I'm going to sing, Great, how great is my God. Hallelujah. I don't know what Paul and Silas sang that night, but my Lord, God had put them there to reveal His power to them and to save a Philippian jailer. One soul. One soul. And Paul turns to Silas, and they begin to sing, and about the time they begin to sing, I don't know what they sang. I'd like to believe it was Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. That song wasn't written then, but if it was, I believe it's what they'd have sang. Who knows what they sang? But I believe if they had been singing that song, allow me a little conjecture. When they got to that verse, it says, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we'll have no less days to sing God's grace than when we first begun. And about that time, an earthquake hit the jail, and the chains and the shackles fell off, and everybody else in that prison was running all around scared to death. And what happens? This little short humpback Jewish man stands up and says, don't worry, God's in control of everything. And the Philippian jailer sees it and gives his heart and life to Jesus Christ when he sees the faith that was in Paul and Silas. Sometimes what God is allowing us to go through, and it is a work of His grace, is always to develop us, but it's also many times to show other people around us how real His power is. We think of God revealing His power in us as always being something pleasant and wonderful and pie in the sky. He's going to give us a lot of money. He's going to give us position or this or that or the things of the world. He rarely does it that way. He reveals Himself on the backside of the desert. He reveals Himself in a shipwreck. He reveals Himself in a storm. He reveals Himself in a dark, dank prison cell where nobody thinks He's at. And instantly He moves in the situation to show not only us, but all of us around us, His grace is sufficient. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I feel it. Give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. I feel the Holy Spirit telling me to quit now. I don't want to do what I did on Sunday before Christmas. I told Chris, I said, I'm not going to preach very long this morning, Chris. I'm just going to be about 20 minutes. And he's laughing at me at the end of service. I had to laugh at me. 66 minutes of me alone. If that ain't enough to ruin your Christmas, I don't know what could be. But grace, hallelujah. God's grace moved, and it didn't ruin nobody's Christmas. Hallelujah. But honestly, I feel Him telling me to quit now. Because He wants you to know, at this altar this morning, He wants to pour grace, a fresh move of His grace on you. He wants to give you a fresh revelation of His grace this morning. To know that everything going on in your life, because your faith is in Jesus Christ, is ultimately going to be a work of His grace. Don't despair. Don't look on your future with fear. Listen. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to train our minds to do this. What I'm preaching to you this morning, if you try as a force of your will to just say, I'm going to trust in God's grace. I'm going to trust in God's grace. You'll never do it. You'll never do it. You'll be crying again before you leave the parking lot. But if you, around this altar this morning, will present yourself to the Holy Spirit and say, give me this revelation of God's grace working in my life, He'll renew your mind. The Holy Spirit will. And He'll give you the gift to be able to look at your situation the same way God is. Now, hold on just a minute. I didn't say that God would show you the whole picture, because God rarely does that. He gives us little pieces at a time of the whole thing. Sometimes he does show us the end result. Most oftentimes he doesn't. When we're in the fire, when we're in the storm, when we're in the shipwreck, when we're in the prison cell. But he will show up and reveal himself in some way to let us know, my grace will never leave you. My grace will never fail you. You found the only thing you're ever going to need. You found my grace. Trust in that grace. And when we say trust in grace, in effect, we are saying trust in the character of God to look toward us the same way he looked toward Noah and all the saints of the Bible. Because you know what? That is precisely what he does. My Lord, that ought to make you want to jump out of your pew and run these aisles. When you find his grace and you accept his offer of grace, no matter what's going on around you, no matter what the circumstance, God looks on you just like he looked on Noah, through eyes of grace. I'm here to tell you, Noah didn't know what was transpiring and what God was going to call him to do. Noah went through some rough times. I'm here to tell you, 600 years of building a boat with the whole town laughing at you is a pretty hard thing to go through. Amen? But he found grace. That grace enabled him. He preached to his generation. God used him in the midst of all of his turmoil, in the midst of the whole world mocking him and making fun of him. There's that goofy Noah over there building that silly ark. What a buffoon he is. The whole world. Now watch this as we close. The whole world was against this man. We're not talking just maybe the city of Springfield or the greater central Ohio area. The entirety of the planet stood in opposition to what God told Noah to do when Noah found grace. It takes the enabling power of the Holy Spirit to endure something like that. But no wonder God told the Apostle Paul, and it's so true today, glory to his name, my grace is sufficient for thee. Hallelujah. I believe it was this morning I told Phyllis, we were just over there chatting. I said, Phyllis, God's really, really brought me through the storm over the last few years. We was talking about me losing weight. And even the Holy Spirit enabled me to do that. I don't know if y'all remember it or not, but we had a service here about a year and a half ago. It was in the summertime. We had people walk through the lines of everybody praying for them. I can nail it down to that day it started when the Lord started delivering me from a food addiction. Delivering me from a food addiction. Man, I didn't even eat pounds and pounds of cake over the holidays. Joy, Ravana's sister made this one cake. Man, it is like an angel dancing over your tongue. I'm serious. This is the heroine of cakes, man. And I had one piece of it. The last time Joy made this cake, I was sitting up late at night sneaking pieces of it. I ate about 3/4 of the cake myself. I'm not proud of that, but that's the truth. God's grace, his grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient for everything that's going on in your life. And know this, if your faith is in him, you are in a state of grace. As far as his eyes are look upon you and are concerned. We're hearing voices again, ain't we? Better quickly get to the altar call. Won't you stand to your feet? Thank you, Lord. Lord, today I'm asking you to, and I believe you've already done it to a large degree, and I praise you for that. We need, Lord, this church and its members and really the church as a whole. But today specifically for this body, we need a fresh revelation of your grace in our lives. And Lord, if you'll be kind enough to give it, we'll be able to spiritually see how you're looking upon us. We'll be able to spiritually know as the Holy Spirit renews our minds. that everything that's going on is a work of your grace, and we'll be able to praise you for it when we look at it that way. Even that which we don't understand and even that which we don't have an answer to, we'll have the confidence in our spirit of knowing your grace is more than sufficient. And we found that grace. Hallelujah. Lord, just like Noah, you won't look upon us any differently. And you'll move in our lives the same way. And Lord, it won't always be easy. But your grace will always be there. Praise God, praise God, praise God. As I look out over the crowd this morning, I know everybody here, you know the Lord is your Savior. I don't feel a need to give a salvation altar call. So I'm just going to ask everybody who would you come and present yourselves at the altar of the Lord this morning? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I just feel a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit on this altar this morning concerning a revelation of grace. Hallelujah. I want everybody to stretch forth their hand toward Monique this morning. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus today, there's been some fear and trepidation about starting this new job. But Monique, the Lord wants you to know you're going to be more successful in this job than you have in any other one in times past. Lord, let your anointing and let your grace go with her as she begins this new endeavor, Lord, that you've provided for. And I know the great things are going to happen for her in this capacity. Just let your grace take away the fear, take away the trepidation, and let it be replaced with a firm confidence that your grace is sufficient. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Maritas and Phil, would you all come here? I want to pray for you. Would you all stretch forth your hands toward them? Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, your grace is sufficient. And you're going to fulfill your promise in their lives, Lord, in your time and in your season, but it's going to happen. Let them not fear. Let them not doubt, for your grace is sufficient. Bless them in Jesus' mighty name with a fresh revelation of your grace, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Dennis, would you come here? I want to pray for you this morning, buddy. Stretch forth your hand toward him. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus today, your grace is sufficient. And you've got the answer already, Lord. Lord, through the trial, your grace has been there. Give Dennis a fresh revelation of your grace today, and let his soul begin to praise the God of his salvation, knowing that your grace is going to be sufficient. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just praise him right now, church. Just lift your hands and praise him. And I feel like I could go lay hands on everybody this morning. God wants to touch each and every one of you today. By opening your spiritual eyes, giving you a fresh revelation of the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. And it's operating in your life right now. The Holy Spirit is prodding me to put that across. The movement and operation of God's grace via the person of the Holy Spirit is going on in every area of your life right now. The ones you don't understand, the questions you have that you don't have an answer to, His grace is sufficient, glory to God. And it's at work right now. That's what the Holy Spirit wants us to see today. Father, in the name of Jesus today, not only for today, but throughout the rest of our time on planet Earth before you come back for us, give us a life-changing revelation of the effective operation of your grace in our lives, knowing that in everything, not just in some things, not just our salvation, but, Lord, in our ongoing sanctification, Lord, in every area, on our job, in our families, the things that are so beyond us, the situations that we just grit our teeth over for we have no answer, let us praise you for today, for they're all works of your grace. Because once we found the state of grace, as long as our faith remains in you, Jesus, we will never leave that state of grace. That's what the book of Galatians chapter 5, We didn't have time to get to it today, but it tells us to stand fast. Praise God. Stand fast in the grace of God. Lord, give us. Give us. I believe you've done it today for everybody who's been here. Renew our minds with the power of your Holy Spirit. And let us view, as your Holy Spirit renews our minds, I know he'll give us the correct view of our situation from your perspective, God. And that you're looking on us with eyes of grace. And everything that's going on will one day, it may not even happen in this life, but one day it'll be revealed of how powerful a work of your grace it was when we didn't understand it. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Thank you for the comfort of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the revelatory power of your Spirit that comes through faith and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Anchor us in it today to a greater degree. Take us deeper. Take us deeper, Holy Spirit of God, into Jesus Christ today. And I thank you, for I sense in my spirit everyone has received a revelation of grace today that possibly, maybe the way they've never seen grace before. Because we think of your wonderful saving grace, Lord, as only being applied to our sins. And it is. We praise you for that. But Lord, once we're in that state of grace like Noah was in, everything is a product of your loving grace. We praise you, Jesus, for everything that's going on in our lives today. For it's a work of your grace. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Give Jesus Christ a hand of praise today. Hallelujah. Woo! Praise God. Praise God. I believe we heard from heaven today. Not that I preached it that good, but the Holy Spirit did. It's been so great to have you back in God's house today. We're going to be picking up on Wednesday night, our regular Wednesday night Bible study again. We're going to be finishing up on the question that I believe was Deb Turvey that told me over the holiday when I was visiting with him. She turned it in about the liturgical practices of the church. Why don't we recite the Lord's Prayer every Sunday? Why don't we recite the Apostles' Creed? We touched on that a little bit before the holidays. We're going to be going into that probably the next couple of weeks on Wednesday night and answering that question. Be with us. I believe you learn something and you'll be blessed and build up in your faith if you can be here with us. Praise God. Man, this has been a great start to the new year, hasn't it? Spiritually. Bill, would you come dismiss us in prayer this morning?